who choose to stay in this process get a lot of gratitude, awful lot of gratitude for the recovery process. I want to thank God for just for the day, and thank this wonderful, wonderful convention for inviting me back again. There hasn't been too many places I've been invited back to. I'm real, real grateful to be here with all of you. And before we get into any part or fraction of the message, I want you all to give yourselves a warm round of applause, because this is a phenomenal thing that you do. Recovery's not easy. It's a simplistic thing, but it's not easy. It's not easy to abstain from something that people like us have been comfortable doing for a long, long time. I've been blessed and fortunate to be in a fellowship of men and women. Fellowship of men and women who have, for some unknown reason, I can't explain it, embraced me and have taken me from the abyss of active addiction to a place where now I want to talk about the road to recovery. Too many times, a cat like me coming from where I came from, the barrel, standing outside Alabama Projects in Paterson, New Jersey, hopefully waiting for the alcoholics in front of me to make certain that they save me just one sip. I don't know if anyone can identify with just having the hope that somebody will save you just one. It was all that I was looking for way back then. I got clean in 1985. I stopped using drugs in 1985. I want to clarify the cleanliness that is the process. 1985, I was relieved from the drug process. I was 48 years old, and hopefully none of you have to get that old before you make the decision that you need some help. I was the kind of person that you couldn't tell me anything, self-willed kind of human being. So I suffered greatly as a result of that. Today, I choose not to suffer in my iniquities, my ignorance, and all of that. What transpires for someone who spent all of that time living in total ignorance and finally coming to a place where the possibility for help is available? Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to get the help. There's certain requirements for me getting help. And therein lies the step process. I wanted to really, really bring home, really mostly to myself, what the steps can do for someone like me. I did not buy into the recovery process, the aspect of recovery, until I had over 10 years clean. Now, as I said before, hopefully it doesn't take you all that long. I'm over 20 years clean now. So what happened between 10 and 20? A lot of life experiences clean. A lot of Jim P. discovering who he was, what his mission in life was, and seeking help to achieve that mission. Because as you all know, God does not get us clean for ourselves. What was lacking in me in my initial stages, before the drugs, before I discovered the fact that there is something terribly, innately wrong with Jim. What I lacked was purpose, direction, and a connection with something greater than any dilemma that could possibly enter into my life. Because, as you all know, the blackness, the ethnicity, the ignorance, the impatience, the intolerance, all of those were a part of my psyche. All of those were a part of what I visualized myself as being way back then. Poor little Jim P. The world is out to get me. Always things have been done to me, and that has always been the dilemma. So in order for things not to be done to me, I do things to other people first. It's the natural order of things. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Don't you do it to people first before they can do it to you? Oh, of course. But somewhere down the line, I come to realize, as I've been at this process for a period of time, that it was not what was being done to me, what was being done for me. Back to that purpose, direction, and connection type of thing. In the first step, I discovered a wonderful, wonderful thing. That though I had no power over anything outside of myself, my choices would determine how much power I would gain internally. Wonderful revelation for someone who had no understanding as to this life process. Most things that have happened in my life have been on an internal basis, and how they have manifested themselves have been externally. By that I mean this. Being clean does not mean that I'm recovering. I want to make that very, very clear, because we're going to look at that in this meeting here today. Being clean does not mean that I'm recovering. Recovering from what? The total obsession with self. Today's guest for the day is so relevant to this meeting, talking about our own recovery. Since there's a lot to like in Narcotics Anonymous, the meetings are great. We get to see our friends. We hear some inspiring stories and share some practical experiences and maybe even hook up with a sponsor. The campouts, the conventions, the dances, all are wonderful, great fun in the company of other recovering addicts. But the heart of our recovery program is the 12 steps. In fact, they are the program. So where does that take a person like myself? I need to do some personal investigation as to whether this program will work for me. Yeah, I listen to so many of you talk about your experiences and all those different things that happened in your life and what have you, until I started to investigate for myself. It was all lip service. I needed to stay here and stay clean long enough to have some experiences in life to come to understand whether this God truly loved me like you said he did. I couldn't look at me truthfully until I come to realize that there was something keeping me from looking at me. Denial ran so deep. every relationship once I got clean that I entered into was the same relationship that I thought I had changed. Every relationship. It was always about whatever I did for you, you better believe that I was looking for something in it for me. Every relationship. And so it didn't matter the fact that that my wife divorced me. She had to escape from the insanities that I was bringing into the family life clean, 9, 10 years into recovery. Didn't matter. It was always another victim or a volunteer waiting in the wings, ready to become a new trophy. Always someone. But this wasn't about them. It wasn't about them. It was about how Jim felt about himself. When are you going to take a real good look at you? Where are you going? Where is your purpose? Where is your mission in life? Do you have direction? Are you seeking help from a loving source? Do you actually believe that there's a loving source in your life? I hear you talk about all these different things through these different institutions and different entities and all these things you invest in. But do you believe? You got to be careful about what you believe in. You got to make sure the belief system works for you. It's talking about a personal relationship with something that is infallible, will not fail. Money, property, prestige, all have been my gods for so long. So long. When they failed, I was left with nothing but me. I had to change my system of belief. I had to start to begin to take an eclectic approach to life. Be open for all things. It was difficult. It's difficult because I've been taught a certain way for such a long while. And it was very comfortable. And so I began on this journey with a direction from a sponsor. A sponsor who said that there are going to come times in your life when no longer can you deny that you have an incurable malady, that you're going to need some serious help if you're going to do those things that you say you want to do. You say you want to be a vessel of peace, yet you continually create havoc in people's lives. You say that you are a recovering addict. Do you understand what you're recovering from? Some serious questions that I had no answers for. I didn't understand about the third step decision that I make a commitment to continuing this process, though I'm not going to be perfect. I continually go back to the fact that I have a morality problem when I have not developed a sense of rightness within me. How do you hold someone responsible and accountable for something that they have no understanding of? Step work. Step work. Step work. Continually sticking and staying though you don't even see the results. Not using a day at a time, even though your self-esteem, what you feel and think about yourself is not the reality of who you are. The reality is based on the evidences of a loving force in your life. So again, I had to start to experience this loving force in my life, and I didn't understand it at all. Here's a guy who had no relationship with a father, who had no biological male connection, who had attempted to be father, brother, son, husband, without no clear understanding as to what that meant. Oh yeah, the cats in the streets taught me. Few good, you know, good endeavoring doing guys told me, you know, you do this, you do that, and all these different things happen for you. I'm not talking about those guys. Talking about the guy who was never there, who I always wondered who this guy was and what he thought about me and all those different things that a father and a son do, like a mother and a daughter. Biologically, a real connection. And so as it was, I wrote about what I thought and what I felt. Didn't have to be true or anything. Just wrote about what I thought and so had to get it out. Put it out there so I could see it. Take ownership for the fact that I wrote it. Take ownership for the fact that whatever is being revealing, whether it be true or not, it is coming from me. Birthing the truth. Painfully. So going over all this, what was revealed to me was the reason why I sought relationships and solace in the people that I did was because I didn't know what a true relationship was. Third step. Excuse me. Third step, we made a decision, turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood him. Where does this understanding come from? It emanates in the second step, which enables me to come to realize that there is a loving force in my life. I do have some evidence, but takes me to a place where it says that we simply know to come to understand that there's a force for your spiritual growth that can help you become more useful, patient, tolerant, and helping others. Now, how in the world am I going to help somebody else when I don't know anything about me? I got to go and do the investigatory process. Painful spiritual surgery to take a true, hard-nosed, look at me. Now, what I come to find out was it was not more important as to how many relationships that I had gotten into. It was equally important as to how I treat the relationships that I get into. Doesn't matter. And I'm not here to tell you how you need to run your life. I only want to share with you what happened for me. Multiple relationships is not a crime nor a sin. The difficulty is how do you treat them? If I'm going to deny my committed legal wife all the amenities that she's due in order to service three others, then I need to take a look, a hard look, at my operamente. How do I operate in terms of relationship? I'm sharing about a spiritual process, not a religious one. I'm sharing about a process in which once I make a decision to involve myself in another human being's process, I need to bring all the principles that the second step says I can be capable of bringing through the help from a loving force. How do I go about facilitating that? Well, second step says this power has capabilities of healing hurt, calming confusion, restoring soundness of mind, body, and spirit. So I'm not about the business of helping to facilitate those things in your life, my third step decision has no validity. No foundation for truth. No foundation for success. None. So I come to realize that the things that I was missing, only a loving God could restore those things. And so just let me say this. At some point in time, my wife made a decision that she was willing to start a new relationship with me. Reason why, she said, I don't want the old one. But if you come with some principle in your life, we might possibly start this new life all over again. You can't take the new you, the old you, into a new relationship. And so I began to do some serious work. Why? Because I didn't want to be the same guy I was when I got here. I just didn't. It didn't mean I was going to get perfect or anything. I wasn't looking for that. I just wanted to become a better human being. I got sick and tired of me. I don't know whether you can have ever had the experience of waking up in the middle of the night and rolling over and looking at the other person next to you and want to turn away and come to find out the other person is you. I don't know. I don't know if you ever have had that experience. It's a spiritual axiom. What happens is that you see you for who you really are. And that's where the phrase in our fellowship says, when we became sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's not of the other person. It's of you. You, Jim. That's when I start to seek the spiritual doctors that are going to help to heal me. And so, though all of those things were transpiring, I stayed committed to serving. We have the beginning of our basic text that gives us a lot of information that as sponsors, we have a responsibility to pass on to the newer member. Give them correct information. Teach them well. They are going to be the resource upon which we draw our strength from. In the very beginning, it says to people like us, it says you came in here all by yourself. Oh, some of us had practiced some stuff and what have you, but the addiction drove us in here by ourselves. And it gave us some specific instructions. It said, join a fellowship of men and women, society, they said. Let them direct you to service. Simplistic stuff. Great stuff that will keep you clean and take you on the road to recovery. So that at some point in time, you will start to develop a relationship with a God. That through all of these entities, you can obtain some spiritual freedoms. But you got to follow the simple direction. Can't bypass any of it. So too many times coming in here, I didn't see that stuff when I got here. I was just glad to be here. At some point in time, we can't just be glad to be here, got to do the spiritual work. Not just to stay here, but to do the transformation that the wonderful program of Narcotics Anonymous says that will happen for each and every one of us as we stay. So, kept doing this work and kept experiencing all these different things and what have you, and eventually had this conversation with my wife's father. Well, we weren't married at the time. She was about 22 years old at the time when I first met him. And he gave me some simple direction that I thought was significant. He says, my daughter has met you. She thinks you're a wonderful guy, and she thinks there's a possibility you could become a wonderful man. And I hope that is so true for you. And if you don't treat her accordingly, we'll have this conversation again. Needless to say, as you see, I'm standing here. We didn't have to have that conversation. This was the first man that I met who was true to his word, who was not about the business of trying to teach me inordinate things such as what I had learned for the greater portion of my life. And he's a country guy. Real simplistic, couldn't read nor write. However, he had accomplished some things that gave me a lot of respect for him. With it, he was a truck driver that could not read nor write. And one day I hazard to ask him, how do you do that? He said to me, it's real simple. Post office, gas station, police department. You know, the simplest things always seem to get past me. For some reason or another, you could tell me that right is the right way to go, and I'll be Jeff to the left every time. But he told me that, but it kind of stayed with me. The thought that this man knew where his direction was, knew what his purpose was, he had a connection. Phenomenal thing. So as the years passed on, this man became like the father I never knew. Here he was, my wife's father, but he was more like my father. He called me son. You know, a place of high honor in life. When a parent calls a child son or daughter, they have elevated that individual to a place of respect and honor. Honor what your parents tell you. It'll take you a long way. So the man says to me, he says, I'm not starting to feel so good. And we had talked last year, and he said that, you know, things are starting to happen. And his daughter, my wife, and the family began to find out that he had gotten sick. So my daughter decided she was going to go see her father down south, deep parts of the south, South Carolina. And she called me up and she said, you know, he's not doing so good. She came home and we talked to him right before the first of the year, and he said to me, I want to come up to Jersey so I can see my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And his daughter went back down, and she called me up. She said, you need to catch a plane and come down here because Daddy wants to come to Jersey. That's been his dream. So I caught a plane. I went down, and when I got to the house, now, mind you, now, we're talking about country folk now, right? You know, y'all know, y'all got country people in your life. You know how they live. You know what I mean? It was a dirt road. Dirt road that didn't have a name on it. And I went down that dirt road, and it took me back to when I was a little boy. You know, telling you recovery will take you and connect you with some stuff. You know what I mean? It'll bring you from a place where you thought you'd never get a chance to return to. It'll take you all the way back to your beginnings, to where your dreams emanated from. And I was able to visit that spot. And when I walked into his aunt's home, she's 92 years old, she was taking care of him. He was lying on the couch. And when I walked in, he looked up at me and he raised his arms and he said, my son is here. I said, Dad, I'm here. He said, hey, Bo. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going north, boy. I'm going to take you north so you can see your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. This was not my biological father, but he was my father. This program will reunite you with that which you disconnected from a long time ago. We need to stop stereotypically trying to understand what God is doing. We need to connect with God from a place of where He wants us to. We need to stop separating one from another. We have a disease that has an ultimate goal to destroy every relationship you get involved with. Once it disconnects you from God, you're lost. Once it disconnects you from the power, the source of where all your goodness comes from, you're lost. You must reconnect. You must reconnect. You might have to go back down to the dirt road with no sign. Define your true connection. Recovery will send you back. It'll reclaim you from the place of where your devastation started. I had no idea that it was going to take this long for the healing to start. Make that third step decision every time that you think that you can't make it. Make it anyway. You'll be the better for it. Stay here with us. Stay here. So this old country man wouldn't get on the plane. Sister, he wouldn't get on a plane, but he wanted to come north. Now, mind you, I've gotten to be a senior member of this fellowship. And along the way, I acquired a new friend. Has a first and a last name. First name Arthur, last name Riders. I felt as though that I couldn't do what God was asking of me. Because I know He was getting ready to ask me something. See? So, the old man had an old Oldsmobile. An old Oldsmobile. But he loved this Oldsmobile and he took care of it, you know, like a mother takes care of a child and a father protects the family kind of way. So he told me, he said, Bo, we can go in the car. Very few words come from this man, but he's right on point. So we trusted that. My wife and I hooked him up, brought his things, what have you, put him in the car. Now, mind you, I can't normally drive more than 3 hours without this condition starting to take hold. By car, that drive is 13 hours. And I drove 10 hours of that nonstop. God and this program, He will not send you on a mission unless He gives you the resource, the strength, and the courage to fulfill His mission. He will not send you on a mission of mercy to help one human being unless He gives you the resource. But you got to have faith. You got to trust. You got to believe. He'll give you strength beyond comprehension. He will allow you to do things beyond your wildest imagination in His service, not in selfishness, but in service to your higher power, any suffering person. That's our mission. It's our mission. So we brought him to the house. Now, mind you, I was listening to one of my brothers talking about how long the mortgage is. I've come to understand that when I sign on, I can't look at how far I got to go. I just got to know that I got to sign on. See? Because I don't know what God is going to do in the interim. And I might miss the opportunity to experience Him on a higher level if I'm concerned about the outcome. See? So, we brought him home. It was Christmas time. And for some unknown reason, my daughter, who had moved down to Florida, brought her children up. Coincidentally, it wasn't planned or nothing, you know? Granddaughter, mine, who we had been concerned about, she was there. All of his connections showed up. And I never knew about this transition thing, transitioning to God thing. Because I want to share with you, because I'm a senior member, and I want to share with you what is going to be in store for you. You need to know. You need to know. Y'all ask a lot of questions. I'm going to give you a lot of answers. As we stay clean, my brother shared about it, we get graver responsibility. As we continue to recover, God will give you more to do. He will place more in your life. Why? To fill the void that was there way up there when we talked about that second step. Huh? It says, we receive a void. I tried to fill it with everything. Invariably, the blessing comes that God will give you an assignment that will fill the void of apathy and indifference. You just need to know when it comes. The assignment that comes as a recovering person. So the kids surrounded him with love and all of that. And then here came the next challenge. I had these things about me and other men kind of stuff. I ain't like no guys to get too close, what have you. Because I had difficulty identifying my own maleness. See? So, you know, so the fear, don't get too close, you know, what have you, you know, right? And there was ways, you know, that I practiced to keep more. You know, recovery, you know, changed all that. So I was less fearful. The reason why it changes it because of the new assignments that come. Transitional processes are going to need us to be there for the transitioning. Because if you be there for the transitioning people, someone's going to be there for you. What happens is that, and this is a challenge that our fellowship has to meet, you don't want to die alone. You don't want to be something that's found in the garbage can out there, what have you. You don't want to be somebody who they can't bury. Someone who's unrecognizable. God privileged me to be a part of my father's transitioning. He died with us amongst those who loved him. With his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and his daughter and his son. He transitioned in love. God will privilege you if you get quiet enough to experience that. Because we all are going to transition. How you want to go? Huh? That's the message. The road to recovery getting back what we lost, dignity, integrity, forthrightness. Be who you say you are. Be that person. You'll develop relationships with God that will transcend. What I'm saying is that my brother came up and fed me today. Listen, do you know what it feels like for somebody to pick up the tab for your life? Do you know what it feels like to have somebody say, I got it? I mean, for God to represent himself through another human being that loves you enough to say, I got it. You earned the right as my brother and friend. I got it. Can you imagine hearing somebody tell you that and mean it from their heart, knowing that you've earned the right, knowing that you're a worthwhile human being? Don't you know? No money can buy that. What's in store for us as a fellowship is beyond our wildest dreams. We have a universal message that can reach around the sphere. If, which is a preposition, it's a requirement, if we make a third step decision that with all the warts that we have as a fellowship, if we make a decision to stick and stay, to continue to understand and know that we are not a separate fellowship, that we are a fellowship of men and women who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. Through the steps, the traditions, and the concepts, what we come to understand is that we gain wisdom. We gain wisdom, which is the foundation of recovery. We get faith, which is the substance of recovery. We get self-control, which is setting boundaries for ourselves and for others so that when people cross them, we know what to do about them. We practice the spirit of forgiveness and humility. Humility is the attitude of recovery. The proper posture for a recovering addict is true humility. Humility being see life as it is and how I need to respond to it. Simplistic process, difficult to achieve without proper guidance. I share this with our newer members, first of all, and for our more experienced members, if it reaches home, so be it. Hear me when I say to you that you have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility, those of us sitting in this room here tonight. We have a responsibility to ensure that Narcotics Anonymous is here for the suffering addict. Our meetings should never, ever have to put out notices and advertisement for service. The true attitude of gratitude is to be able to see your God hand you your assignment through the meetings. No meeting should suffer for lack of support. Remember what it was like for you when you walked through the door and there was a meeting there for you. There was coffee and hugs and a whole lot of keep coming back. If we don't continue to do those things, we're going to find more addicts in trash cans. And we are going to be accountable and responsible, because once you know, you can't go back to not knowing. You've heard it now. It's entirely up to us as a fellowship. We cannot allow addicts to continue to suffer and die because we are not doing our job. Stop bickering with each other. Stop beating up on your trusted servants. Stop waving clean time and giving people responsibility they're not ready and geared for. Come up out of some of those priorities and reprioritize. Start serving as you've been served. Start loving each other as God has loved us. Join us. Join this fellowship. Membership is not free. I don't know where we get that at. In order to leave our fellowship as a recovering person, you got to serve your way out. It's about service in whatever way you possibly can. Be there. Be there. Love them like you've been loved. Know this in your heart, that God does not want us to become a perfect fellowship. He wants us to come as we are. Be good to yourself. Live a good life. Love one another. Cherish one another. We are so diverse that they are still trying to go to the scientific element of what our problem is. Guess what? We ain't gonna tell them. Let them keep doing the research. Maybe one day they'll join us and we can help them. Thank you so very much.